Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Happy New Year's Eve, beautiful ones. I hope you've managed to have some sort of lovely time over the last few weeks and that you've eaten things that have brought you great joy. That is what I am up to for this episode. And I'm joined by body positivity icon, Megan Jane Crabb, also known as Body Posy Panda, if you are an Instagram person. New Year comes with all sorts of complicated feelings and pressures in terms of self-worth, I think, amongst the annual shitstorm of noise about resolutions and shrinking our bodies. And this year, I think we need to shout some counter-noise more than ever, what with so many of us having been kept isolated from the people we love and usually get to see in the holidays, or indeed, those of us who did get to spend the holidays with their families, but who have some mad fucks amongst their families who wang on and on about their bodies and comment on their appearance the whole time. Either way, it's been a fucking tough year, and I, for one, can hear the noise telling me to change my appearance, and I'm just assuming everyone else can, and I think we need to reset a little bit. So I'm going in hard with my January guests this year, as ever, to provide an alternative perspective and maybe option and a reminder, as ever, that if we want, we can just be happy now. Thanks for listening to Hoovering. You could do me a huge favour and just tell every other twat about it. Thank you. Thank you very much. One way of doing that is to subscribe to the podcast or to leave it a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts from. Another way of doing it is just to sort of text someone and go, do you want to start listening to this podcast called Hoovering? Anyway, I love you very much if you do any or all of those things. If you even have spare money, you can help the podcast financially if you like. The best way is to go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod, where I'll swap podcast-related brilliant things for your hard-earned money. For example, guest recipes and stuff like that. Coming up soon in January, I'm recording Hoovering's 4th birthday party episode with several of the year's most brilliant guests. Where I invite them all back for a special feast and to celebrate Hoovering turning 4. But once that's made for the first 6 months or so, maybe even nearly a year actually last time, that episode will be just for some of my patrons. So there. Patrons also get discount tickets to live shows, and there's one coming up, all being well, COVID allowing. We are Hoovering live on Saturday the 5th of February at 5:30 at the Leicester Comedy Festival in Pete's Pizzeria, so we might as well have a pizza party. Come to that, come. I'm also looking into options for making that streamable as well. More information on that as I have it. At the moment, at time of saying this, I have previews for my new show, Wench. There'll be a work in progress. I'm working up to become a new show ready for next August, with tickets available and cheap all in North London. Look up Honer's Club, that's in Camden, where I'm also be previewing with friends like Mark Watson and Izzy Sooty. And also just solo one-hour, one-off work-in-progress shows at the Bill Murray Comedy Club in Angel. Tickets for those are on my website, all in a nice handy list, jessicafosterq.com. And obviously, if anything gets postponed because of the smelly old pandemic, we will just move it to another date and or refund you. Links to everything interesting that Megan and I mention, as ever, including all the things I've just said in this introduction, are in the podcast notes. I pore over them, so do use them. Okay, so, right, Megan and I had never met before this, and we had so much fun. We went for big, beautiful, sloppy, deeply delicious burgers and chipses at the highly acclaimed Patty and Bun, where I have to say the staff were a little bit too cool, but the food was so fucking good. As you'll hear, it made me a little bit innuendo-y. Sorry.
Can we have... You go first.
I would please like the Jesus is Born. Can I have the rosemary salt chips?
Of course.
That'd be good.
And
the burger, medium rare, please.
Cool. Perfect.
I think I have to try a Smokey Robinson after what you said.
Yeah, you should.
Can I have it rare?
Yeah, it'll come medium rare.
Oh, great. Then that's perfect. Yeah, cool. However it comes. And then... I can't see. Oh, here's the chip like rosemary. Sorry, I mean, oh god, I would. Can I get? Oh god, I don't need. Oh shit, sorry. I love everything. What should I? Tell me, it's not good. Can you just tell me what to do? What about roast chicken mayo and chicken skin salt? Yeah, then yeah. Can I try that, please?
Cool. Do you want any drinks or anything, girls?
Yes.
Yeah. Can I get such like a lemonade?
Sprite, yeah.
Oh, homemade.
Ooh.
Is that homemade pink lemonade? That sounds good.
Yeah,
do you know what? I'd really like a ginger beer, actually. Thank you.
Do you have any allergies or anything?
No. Also, can I throw in some, an extra chicken mayo and a barbecue? Thank you.
Yeah.
You got a dip. You got
Yeah.
I didn't know about, didn't even see the dip.
What's happened is I've not spent enough time with the menu, but I'm very happy to be here. I should say we're in Patty and Bun. Which I basically just looked for places around the station we'd be coming into to meet at. It's so lovely to meet you, by the way.
You too!
That had glorious food reviews. I didn't look at Snazzy, is that right? I didn't like prioritise that. I think I can only put like 10 best restaurants near whatever, King's Cross or something. Then it immediately shows you very fine dining places. And I didn't feel like
I'm not about that life.
No.
Like, especially for lunch, I don't want to go anywhere where I'm going to be judged for wearing dirty trainers.
No, actually, that's true.
Yeah.
And the last time I went somewhere posh, both my missus and I felt thoroughly judged, for just being a bit scaffy, as the Scottish way should say it. We both looked a bit scaffy. Just a bit scuffed. Couple of scuffed women. Everyone else in there was fresh out of the office. Not an unchiseled jaw in sight. Like it was, intimidating.
Nah, not for me.
Yeah, no, not for me. And not like lunchtime, and it's so cold. This is going out on New Year's Eve. It's exciting, isn't it?
Exciting.
So happy New Year, Megan.
And to you too. And to everyone listening.
And to everyone listening. Okay, I've got questions like an organised lady.
Beautiful.
So your Instagram is a huge, amazing place of safety and joy and wonder and balance and sanctuary.
Aww.
Thank you for it straight off the bat. I want to know how on earth you started up with that. Like, can I have the origin story of your work and all your work, I guess, really? That's a massive question, isn't it? Sorry to open
that. Nah, I mean, it's not as slick or exciting as people think. It was literally just an accident.
Really?
I was using Instagram same as everyone else. I was following fitness models and celebrities, comparing what I was eating to what other people were eating.
Yeah.
And I did that for years. And then one day I just stumbled across this small little group of people doing the opposite.
Really? Yeah. Just like a counter movement?
Just talking about not dieting, not hating myself, done with it. Here's me in a bikini. I'm deciding to love this part of me. Yeah, cheer for that, lads. All right.
There's some, yeah. I'm so sorry, but we're quite near some lads. But in a way, it does make it feel even more New Year's Eve-y.
Yeah, isn't it? So, yeah, I just found the opposite.
Brilliant.
And, you know, I'd spent my entire life hating my body,
yeah.
Struggled with eating disorders when I was a teenager,
okay.
Dieted for years, lost weight, gained weight, lost weight, gained weight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when I found the opposite,
yeah.
It was literally like, you know those moments where there's a crack in your reality?
Yeah, yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, could I have been wrong this whole time? Like,
yeah.
Could I have been doing something different
well,
this whole
like,
time?
Well, it kind of creeps up on you, doesn't it? Did you have you had that? It's not like one big slap and that's it. You've got a different philosophy. It feels a bit like a real life. Oh, that's an awful thing to say. It feels a bit like my own experience of a religious conversion. Because it is, you fundamentally change your entire belief set, based on a new set of truths. It's like a sort of education version of a. Isn't that absolutely wild?
For sure. I would say, honestly, it's akin to leaving a cult.
Yeah.
Because there are so many aspects of diet culture that are so cultish.
Yeah.
Hello.
Yeah.
Ginger beer?
That's there. Me, please. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ooh, fruity.
Oh, yes, please.
Love it.
Oh, I like doing this on here.
Lemonade and cults.
Mm. It didn't quite do the hiss. I just did it with a... There we go. Very handmade podcast.
Lovely.
Yours looks yummy. Pink lemonade.
Yeah, it's very nice. Diet culture has so many cultish aspects. You know, you must follow the rules. You don't question it. You blame yourself. You read the right scripture. You, like, worship the right idols. It's
you have a sort of moral piety about you
because
the people who believe in healthiness, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's bonkers, isn't it? And also, it's been passed down for generations. Like, it's a bit like you don't get a choice. You might be able to choose your freedom from it in adulthood.
Mm.
Yeah, it is.
Well, it's like all of that good stuff, isn't it? It's like heteronormativity and like ableism and it's all of this ingrained shit.
When you first hear about the alternative as well, did you have... Because you're reminding me and actually asking you about it like that and your lovely articulate answers reminding me that I think I'm pretty confident I was just given a comment on a post on an early one of these podcasts where it started having useful conversations in therapy about my relationship with eating.
Mm.
But I hadn't... I was really tinkering around the edges. And someone just commented on a post, totally neutrally, like, oh, I wish you'd... you'd be so interested, I think, in the anti-diet movement. And I was like, I didn't know that was a thing. Like, you know, and in my mind, I already was like, well, I don't love them. Because none have worked for very long. Like, you know, but I just had never got my head around... like the actual like how mind blowing and what I was going to ask was I think what I had initially was a little bit of internal pushback, a bit of defensiveness about like yeah, especially when I realised it wasn't going to be a seamless ride in the sense that I thought if I saw my relationship eating out, which again isn't going to be like click it's done, it's a journey, I thought well then I'll sort my relationship with my body image out, and those two things did not come hand in hand in a way that I wanted. Yeah, and you realise it's not a linear journey. It's not just 100% progress day in, day out.
And
little bits you push back and go, well, maybe maybe it is. You know, maybe it would be better if everyone was tiny. Or at least striving for that 24/7.
For
and then
sure.
You go to remember, well, no, because then everybody's very, very sad and that's not what health is.
Yes, and that like initial reaction that you had is so common.
Is it that defensive?
Oh my gosh.
I found myself saying things like, yeah, I mean, it's fine, but equally like... You know, just trying to talk in a way that was balanced that actually was still toxic.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know how to articulate it any better than that.
I get messages from people who say, I hate followed you. I hate followed you for years.
Oh my God.
And slowly, bit by bit, it kind of chipped away and converted them over. So if people have spent their entire life and all of their energy and like so much emotional energy into one way of thinking, someone walks in and is like, well, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Jess Baker describes it in a really great way.
Yeah.
Jess Baker's a fantastic like body liberation advocate.
Amazing.
And she describes it as everyone's been in this long queue for years, impossible. If you aren't playing by the rules anymore, it's like you've walked to the front of the queue stepped in. Like,
and it's infuriating.
Yeah. People hate it because they've invested so much.
And 100% as well, I think there's an element of yes, it's infuriating for people who I'm who genuinely not ready to believe that they can be happy now, to see people happy now. I'd be like, I cannot understand how you're happy now, and it's not fair.
Yeah.
And I can understand why it doesn't feel fair. Because also, it's not always possible. Oh, God, it's really complicated. Well, what we've done there is get really straight into the deep shit real fast.
Yeah.
Really, don't think I've ever got into it that fast.
Oh,
really,
I love it.
Lovely. Yum, yum, yum.
Yeah, don't like dancing around.
Verbal starters. I'm just going to ask you all the same nonsense questions I ask everyone in this podcast, if that's all right.
Yeah.
Have you ever accidentally eaten anything that's not food? It's fine if the answer's no.
I feel like I definitely have, but I have a very vivid memory of, this isn't eating, but once sucking a Polly Pocket dinner plate up my nose as a child.
Sucking nasally or mouthwise?
Nasally. Just snorting a Polly Pocket dinner plate. Yeah. Just for the thrill.
Joy?
I mean,
yeah. One of my favourite things, which is an awful thing to say because it's his association with an object, but one of my favourite things about my son is he loves a Polly Pocket. And I didn't know they were still around. Do you know that the original ones are spendy now on eBay? They're bits of art. In a way, like, you look at it now and go, parents very wary of very tiny toys. But Polly Pocket would be nothing if she was... It's the only time I'd advocate smallness of a woman enforced.
Polly Pocket.
Polly Pocket's really dangerously tiny,
small.
Please, because otherwise we won't have stories of tiny plastic plates going up our nose. How did they get it out? Sorry to be gross.
I'm sure it came out. I don't remember it coming out, but I'm sure it did.
I love the idea that it might still be there.
Who knows?
How squeamish you are. I get told off for telling the story, so you can just go, I feel sick, shut up.
Cool.
But I've got a tiny little bit of wood in the back of my calf and my thigh, still, from when I was 13. And I was tipsy, so I grew up in the West Country, and I sort of slid along a wooden bench, and I felt like a tiny pain, and the next day I was like, oh, there's a mass, not just splinter, like a shard of, like an inch and a half of wood.
Oh, no.
Oh yes. Thank you. Yum, yep. Thank you.
Lovely.
And chicken mayo.
Thank
yes,
you.
Yes, please.
So one each,
yes.
Yeah, thank you. What a great idea. Oh, yeah. Yes, please.
That's such a great laugh.
Oh, yes. I'm giddy about this. I think we should just shush and concentrate on this for a bit. Delicious. Oh, you have to try one of those chips.
Oh, I've had these before.
Have you?
Yes, chicken salt.
Oh my God. I don't think I've ever had chicken salt before. Oh my crumbs alive.
Let's bust this open.
Yeah. Ooh. Oh, that's so good.
Okay, I am ready for this. This is exactly what I want a burger
to
be.
Fit.
Yeah.
Can you just... You just squirt a bit of ketchup on your paper plate.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that.
Yeah?
No one's going to kick me out, are they?
It's genius, really. They don't have to have anyone here washing dishes.
Yeah, they've just given us a square of package paper each. Very trendy. There'll be people furious. There's definitely an Instagram account. There's several, aren't there, about places that have got something trendy instead of a plate. Getting furious about, like, wooden plinths and stuff. And all the funniest things that a burger's been served on.
I've never seen that.
Haven't you?
Great.
Yeah, it's fun. I'll find a link to it for the podcast now. Oh my God, look at that. Dirty, dirty bitch. Big, big fan.
Sexy.
I am fucking keen. It's erotic. We've absolutely smashed this.
Mm-hmm.
Happy New Year.
Cheers.
Cheers. A cheers, a chip. Cheers. Oh yes. Okay. I'm going to try this burger set because otherwise I'll be thinking about it and not really listening to you. Apologies.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Yes, please. What's this supposed to be one of the best burgers in London, apparently?
It's been said to me, yeah.
Yeah.
my god.
Oh my god.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Fucking hell. That is amazing. How did it get so juicy?
I feel like this is edging close to like soft porn.
Yeah.
That is wet.
It's a weird thing.
That is.
It's wet, isn't it?
Mm.
In a really thick, wet way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, if you haven't been for lunch here, guys, arrange your eyes differently because this is a bonding experience. If nothing else.
Yeah.
Straight off.
I feel like we know each other very well.
I'm glad we got that bit of serious chat out of the way before the food arrived, because it's downhill smut from here, isn't it? Okay. So, you once accidentally ate up the nose a Polly Pocket plate.
Yep.
Absolutely brilliant. Is there any food or drink that you hate that most people love, or that you love that you think most people hate?
There's one. It's a seasoning. It's a herb.
Okay.
That I hate so much that I tell places I'm allergic to it.
Oh, I really want to guess it now.
Go ahead.
Dill.
Nope.
Coriander.
Coriander.
Yeah, that's genetic apparently, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. It tastes like soap.
Tastes like soap.
Oh wow.
Cannot deal with it.
I think that's on the spectrum of allergies. If it really fundamentally tastes disgusting. No. No. That's maybe disrespectful to people who need an EpiPen for fine. Yeah, rein that back in, Jess.
I really don't like it.
Fine. Yep. Oh wow.
Can you stomach coriander?
Mm-hmm. I like it, but I tell you what. The older I've got, the more I realise I love the smell, and to me it kind of tastes of nothing.
Oh.
I love the smell of it. So, I remember doing something at school. Not at school, can't have been. My food, like my cooking at school, like eating stuff at school was so route one, awful.
Mm.
But, I've got a lot of love for the teacher. She was called Betty Bingham.
Aww.
Yeah, so she used to pronounce vegetables vegetables. But at some point, somewhere along the line, someone said coriander, don't cut it, rip it and smell it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, whoa, that's the nicest it's ever. I've never really noticed it smell, and I loved that sensory experience. But the taste of it, I take it or leave it. Oh, and I'm not going to sit here defending it to someone for whom it's traumatic.
Offensive.
Yeah, offensive. Fine. Yeah, good to know. But would you say generally you're like not picky and never were?
Was very.
Really?
Very.
Okay. What, as a child?
Yeah, I'd be the kid who took like half an hour to eat a snack because I was just like picking it into pieces, and I had my little rituals like you eat this bit first. And
I want to know about these. Oh God, my bug's falling apart.
I mean, I suppose like chocolate biscuits or like anything chocolatey that had layers.
Mm.
That's the classic. I could make a bag of Maltesers, a small single size bag, last an hour.
What?
Just one by one, nibble, nibble, nibble. Probably an indicator that things were going to go a little bit, haywire, yeah, down the line. But
what, trying to get all the thin, thin chocolate off the ore.
Mm.
Just logistically, so hard. I mean, it's like you'd have to be a kind of tooth-tongue gymnast.
Oh, I have a very agile mouth as a result.
Fine.
Yeah.
I told you I'd turn it absolutely smutty. At least it was training for something.
I mean, this is such a weird like thing that used to be in like 90s American movies, but I found out the other week, I genuinely can tie a knot in a cherry stem.
Shut up.
In my mouth.
That's how I proposed to my partner.
No.
Because she was bragging in a social setting that she could do that, right? But also, she's like quite a giddy character. She's not like a performer for a work, and she doesn't like that kind of spotlight. So it means when she is doing a bit of showing off, it's like watching a kid do it. I don't think she'd mind me saying that. So she revealed this tied thing, and we were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. But then because she was so giddy, I was like, something's wrong here and you've done a trick. Like, and she was like, oh yeah! And she was desperate actually to show us how she'd done the trick and absolutely ruined the trick by it being really obvious. You tie one with your hands and slip it in your mouth, and then you pretend to do it and get it out. Right. And it was such a talking point of this particular night that I taught myself to do it. And she was like, no one can do it for real. And I was like, that's not true. Like, I don't believe you, darling, that no one can do it for real. So I taught myself to do it for real. And for months in front of her, I was practicing. I was buying cherries. Every now and again, I'd fucking waste money on cherries that didn't have stems.
Ah.
So there was like 4 jars of them in the fridge. It was terrible from a food waste point of view. I mean, they all got eaten in the end, but for Christ's sake.
Cherries aren't cheap either.
Yeah, I know. And I was just trying to learn the thing. Or I was going to say, look, I've learned it. And then in the end, lots of things went wrong about the whole scenario. We were staying somewhere that's supposed to be romantic, but actually surrounded by horses with loads of flies in their eyes that are right in our face the whole time. And the lady that ran it was like always there, and she kept clopping back anyway. Also, my whole thing was, I was going to go ta-da with the thing out of my mouth with the cherry stem, and reveal the ring. And actually, now with hindsight, I think, yeah, that's quite a disgusting way or place to keep a ring, like a metal precious object in a big spitty mouth. So she thought it was a prank, actually.
So,
it could have been more romantic, but it all ended fine.
She said yes, I think.
She said yes.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever told that on this podcast before, but the cherry, you can do it for real.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
Did you not manage to learn
it? I did.
Okay, cool. Well, we both can then.
Sometimes it would take me an hour or so though, and like, I've got shit to do. I'm assuming you can do it with some efficiency.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like riding a bike. I think you need to keep it so delicious. Thank you. You need to keep up the training with that, do you?
Yeah, every night, 8 p.m.
Every night.
That's training
quick
time.
Quick cherry stem. It's cherry stem training time. My burger's really fallen apart in a dirty, sloppy way, just as that man asked how it was. Mm. What would you say? Oh, well, with that in mind, actually, with the state of this burger in mind, now, visually, what would you say is the worst looking but best tasting thing you've ever eaten, or anything that springs to mind when I say that?
Ooh. A few Christmases ago, when we were allowed to go places, I went on a little Europe hopping trip with my best friend Geraldine.
Oh, wow!
And we were in...
trains?
Yeah.
Wicked!
It was so fun. Not fun, nearly missing most of the trains. And running with suitcases through the terminals. But we went to, one of the places was Prague.
Oh, nice.
And in Prague, we found this little tucked away place.
Right.
It wasn't unknown, it was on TripAdvisor. It was very well rated.
Yeah.
And we walked in and they didn't have a menu. You sat down and they just said, vegetarian, not vegetarian.
Right.
And so she said vegetarian, I said not vegetarian. And then they just bring you what they've cooked that day.
Oh, I love
it. You don't even choose. And it was this giant bowl of, it's like goulash.
Yeah.
So just this absolute mixture. It had like, mine had some meat, some rice, some like beans.
Oh, yummy.
Some like mincey, some chunks of like cheese in it. It was it was so good, but looked like
cheese in there as well.
Yeah, looked terrible.
Oh, an Eastern European soupy stewy thing is a thing of real wintry joy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Glorious.
Yeah, it was a good find.
God, it's a bit frightening though, isn't it, when it's a complete surprise? Lucky, I don't think coriander's a massive deal in Prague.
No. I weighed that up beforehand. I did. I didn't know how to say I'm allergic to coriander.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's talk about eating growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Even from little kid.
So, I would say up until maybe 4 or 5,
yeah,
had a completely unproblematic, love joyous relationship with food. You know, I have memories of being young and, you know, my mum would be baking a cake in the kitchen and I would be so excited to, like, lick the whisk, and it was all just, you know, pure joy. And
did you have siblings?
I do. So I have an older brother and an older sister, Gemma, who features on my internet quite a lot. So love her. And yeah, we all had a fairly carefree relationship with food.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically, as soon as I was old enough to start taking in the messaging, that, oh, this is something you should be counting and feel bad about, and and change your body, like, then it all kind of lost that joy, lost that like pure waiting in the kitchen for the whisk excitement.
Complicated all of that
pureness
of that joy.
And so, like, dieting came into my life really early.
Really?
I was, like, 9 or 10 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, God. And then not long after that, I decided to be a vegetarian.
Okay.
For many years, for like 7 years. So there was just suddenly a lot of restriction.
Think that was to introduce an element of restriction and control even as a little kid?
Maybe, but it was definitely after, like, you know, when you're at school and your teacher like first shows you the video of where meat comes from.
Oh, right,
it was
fair
that.
Play.
It was that, and I was like, no.
No, thank you. Well, yeah, fair play.
Yeah. But very restrictive from, I would say, 10 onwards.
Crikey.
Mm-hmm.
It was a... I think you're considerably younger than me, but, like, it was quite... It wasn't even frowned upon for kids to be on diets when I was that age. I was about 11 when I started, I think.
Yeah.
But I think as well, like, I don't know... I don't think I can even blame the world at that age for that. That was down to, like, having two thin parents. Mum with a really, like, really still, like, rock solid, lovely relationship with eating. But a dad who sort of self-confessed, I think, feeder. Or, like, and the only way he's got to show love, he's got none of the, really no other skills, no other... Not the verbal, not the physical, no love language, other than to feed you and to be so still so proud if you will eat all up, or really enjoy food, wants to talk about eating, really loves eating, but annoyingly, and it, I can't say can't help it, but he's inherited it directly from his mum, who at least had, like, living through a war as an excuse. He sort of married that obsession with feeding and loving through feeding with a quite visceral hatred, although that's not how he'd term it, but it is how he models it, of facts. So there was this really confusing narrative of, like, you've got to eat a lot to impress your dad, but you must never show it on your body.
Right.
And so I think perhaps it just took me till about 9 to start showing it on my body. I suppose the beginnings of puberty. And then it took me a couple of years to start panicking about that, or realising all the little comments weren't just about that fat kid or that fat woman or man, they're about me too. And you're like, oh.
That's such a confusing dynamic for a child
really
to navigate.
Yeah, confusing. Yeah, so I think, and I speak to so many people who had a dieting parent or sibling or whatever, but equally I think it's more just a, I think it was just a case of, like, oh, it just took me, well, as soon as I was at an age where I realised, you know, you just, my parents are rude about fat people. Like, oh, hang on, I'm one.
Mm.
They must be so embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
Grand Scrandiosis.
Yeah, but what would you sound like if you said it now in a big boy voice?
Scrandiosis.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Was it just stumbling across people on the internet who had a good relationship with eating that opened your eyes? Or was there any other way into enlightenment?
For me, it was definitely social media.
Yeah, great.
But it also coincided with...
God, what positive story about social media. It's nice to hear it, isn't it?
Well, yeah, this was 7 years ago. Times have changed. Mm. But it coincided with the time in my life where I had finally hit the goal weight. So, right. You know, I'd gone through dieting, eating disorders,
yeah.
Back to dieting, up and down. And, you know, I always had that dream number in my head of, like, I hit that, everything will be perfect. I'll be, you know, unstoppably beautiful. I'll have the life I want. Everyone will love me. And I just chased and chased and chased. And I got it. I got to it. And I remember just, like, standing on the scale, looking at that number, and then looking in the mirror and thinking, I fucking hate myself. Like, I am still so unhappy, right? Let's...
just a number half a stone.
Let's knock that number down, you know? And it just...
Yeah.
And then when I found the body positive community talking about all of these different ways of seeing yourself and seeing food, it just clicked that it was never going to be enough. It was never going to hit a point where I was actually going to be satisfied and, like, look at myself and think, yeah, cool, that's enough.
That'll do.
Yeah, I can chill now. No.
Well fit.
No. It's never going to happen. And now I'm the fattest I've ever been, and I think that about myself every day.
Happiest as well. Amazing, isn't it? I think... well, congratulations.
Thank you.
isn't that... It is so brilliant. I had a therapist who said, who I was seeing, I had a broken heart basically, and at one point, we'd been talking for about a year, and she'd saved my bacon in a lot of ways, and she went, do you want to talk about your relationship with eating? And I was like, if you want. You know, she was like, so, I mean, how is it? You know, and I went, good, I love food. And then she went, what do you have for breakfast? Today then, what have you eaten today? And I felt like she'd said, please me, you get your genitals out. It was the most invasive question I can imagine having been asked ever. So I was like, what? And then, because I had such a huge reaction to a very neutral question actually, she was like, okay, not ready for this. And she introduced me to a book, which I now realise is really fat phobic, called Fat as a Feminist Issue.
Ooh,
but it had the beginnings in it.
Yeah.
It was my first ever time I'd ever read about anything like intuitive eating.
Yeah.
And weirdly, you know, I'm trying so hard the older I get to not write off a person, an author, a book, because actually there's some content in that book that's extraordinary.
Yeah. Very ahead of its time.
Yeah,
like, that was one of the
absolutely.
First.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, I spoke for this podcast to a woman who's sort of written a whole book on the whole history of dieting, and it goes back to, like, the ancient Greeks. And there's actually, like, one of the first philosophies of, like, how to eat in a healthy way. It's all, like, really intuitive. Mm. Like, it's really, like, listen to how food makes you feel. Like, what emotions does it give you? How does it make your body feel? Like, it's all, like, really, like, don't rule out anything. Don't, like, don't do abstinence. Don't do all this. And it all sounds so sensible. And then it's like, and the only other things you need to do are purge off and run naked.
Like, oh.
And I feel like that about fat as a feminist issue. Because at the end of the day, like, it's all full of, for me, groundbreaking advice about fill your cupboards. You are allowed what you're allowed. You are in control. There's no, take all the emotion out of it. Yeah. But sadly, in its original edition anyway, its end game was to stop you being fat, right?
Yeah. And you know what? It wouldn't surprise me, because you still see that today with books and...
Oh, yeah. And... Like Gwyneth Paltrow's intuitive fasting.
She's
my fucking dick.
Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if the original kind of intended manuscript didn't have that. Mm-hmm. And then it was a kind of a hook. Mm-hmm. It was a publishing hook. Because publishers do that. They're like, all right, well, where's the promise?
Sometimes even lawyers get involved and go, look, you need to... You can't say somebody's healthy if it's not healthy. And you're like, fuck you knowing what's healthy or not healthy.
Yeah.
Who's the police of that?
Yeah. So who knows?
This lunch is fucking lush.
I know.
It's my favourite thing I've eaten for the podcast in a long time.
Wow.
I'm really into it.
Good.
I can't speak for the whole of London, but I'm having an excellent burger.
I feel like these places you go to should be sponsoring in some way. Like,
no, I know.
There's all this, still this free advertising.
Yeah, and these guys, actually, I had to beg to them to let me... I had to really beg them to let... A really grovelly phone call for them to let me book a table because it gets so busy in here. Now I get... I do understand. Fair play. Thank you, Patty and Bun, for letting us back to your table. Because we're somewhere not swanky, but where the food is extraordinary. What would you say the swankiest thing you've ever eaten is? Have you ever had anything really swanky, Pat?
I am generally not a swanky food fan, mainly because when I leave a place, I like to not be hungry anymore.
Yeah.
And it almost feels like the place.
Yeah.
The tinier the portions. Mm-hmm. I do appreciate that. But, I mean, it's probably not the swankiest, but for a long time I dated a chef.
How did you?
Yes, and before you say, oh my God, you must have had so many nice meals cooked for you. No, I did not.
I've talked to lots of chefs and it's super noodles and Kit Kats at home.
Yes, I cooked for him far more than he cooked for me. But he had all the kind of like inns with the nicer places.
Oh, nice.
And he, you know, one year for, I think it was for Valentine's, he arranged to go to his friend's place, and we had this like platter of all kinds of fancy stuff, and it was enough fancy stuff that we actually were full at the end of the night. Lovely.
Nice.
Yep. Kind of just a smorgasbord, a tasting menu.
Get him.
It was lovely. But
do you remember any of it?
This is really bad. I remember that there were some like quadruple fried chips.
Fit. Yeah. And now that's like a thing.
Yeah.
Maybe that was like that chef invented that.
Maybe.
And now you can get that at every festival van ever.
This was like 8 years ago, so ahead of the time.
Ahead of the curve. I wonder if there is like, I do sometimes wonder if there's going to be like things like an infinite number of times you can fry a chip.
I mean, after a while.
Also, I feel like it really skipped double, didn't it?
Mm.
Like, it went to triple fried chips and quadruple fried chips. And, like, how many times can you fry a chip until it is just dust?
I mean, ultimately, you're just frying a very old piece of potato.
Yeah. Older and older and older.
Yeah.
I'm into it.
Maybe we're being duped here, you know?
Yeah,
I know. Maybe this is just they don't want to throw out the old stock, so they just refry. Yeah.
I wonder if there's... I do think there's an infinite number of things you can do with coffee.
Mm.
Coffee's been rebranded now, like... I feel like an old lady for asking for iced coffee instead of a cold brew. But a barrister is probably going to tell me they're fundamentally different things.
Yeah, I feel like they're different.
Cold brew, I don't think I'm going to get some noise for this, and I'm ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
This is me saying, hit me up with your corrections / abuse. Leave Megan alone, but I'm here for it. I believe cold brew never got hot. But then how did the coffee grounds blend with the water? Maybe they fuse, they do some kind of frozen fusion chemistry.
You know what? I have no level of education on this issue.
No.
So I'm just going to stay quiet. Because, you know,
okay.
I'm sure the coffee fandom.
Community,
yeah. Are probably quite passionate
yep.
about this. So I'm just going to leave it. I'm going to bow out.
Oh, dear. A small trolley full of men dressed as Santa just went past.
Love that for them.
Absolutely lovely. And I hope they have a lovely afternoon, and sorry for everybody who's serving them. I mean, when you talk to someone you know has freed themselves from a cycle of disordered eating and dieting, it feels like a tangy question, so you can just say get fucked if you want. But have you ever had a patch where you ate the same thing every day?
Yeah.
Yeah, loads.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a patch where you were doing that not in a dieting way?
Yeah.
Have you? Oh, tell me about it.
Yeah. So, there was this interesting stage for lots of people, and definitely for me, where you first quit the diet cycle.
Yeah.
And suddenly you're allowed to eat all of the things that you've told yourself are off limits and banned and like evil things. And so I had, you know, this giant list of banned foods that suddenly I had all access to.
Yeah.
And I ate cookie dough every day for probably about 4 months.
Loved
and
it.
Not a small amount.
Yeah.
And you know, people are scared of that face, of that period of breaking out cycle. Because you genuinely feel like, oh my God, I am going to eat like this every day for the rest of my life. I'm never going to be stopped. Like, I'm going to consume the whole world.
Yeah.
And you have to trust that it's going to change.
Yeah.
That actually, once your body starts to trust you, that you're not going to restrict again, that you're not going to take it away, you stop craving it so fiercely.
Yeah.
I definitely did. So yeah, cookie dough every day.
Very nice.
But you know what? Once you get through it, through to a certain stage of intuitive eating, obviously in an ideal world, it's, you know, you always listen to your body, you always have exactly what you want.
I find it very hard to always listen to your fucking body.
Exactly. Yeah. In reality, sometimes you're eating what's going to go out of date first in the fridge.
That's loads of times for me.
Yeah.
Like, that's loads of times.
Yeah.
And actually it's like, well, it's not ideal. But I feel very privileged in the sense that luckily I'm still going to fucking love it because I love eating most things.
Yeah.
For the last episode I did recorded of this, I was talking to a guy who's written a book about climate change, like a really funny, hopeful, practical one, but we ate up stuff. Like, that was the vibe of, like, we just had lunch, we'll, like, use up things otherwise we're about to go off. And it meant we both had, like, this absolute hodgepodge. It still was a fucking delicious lunch.
Mm.
Yeah, and also, I don't have very specific... My body, outside of pregnancy, actually, it doesn't ask me for specific things. Mm. It asks me for, like, I want something hot, I want something big, I want something spicy.
That's interesting.
I want something salty. It doesn't go... It used to, actually. When I was a student, if I had a hangover, it used to go, I want 2 chicken Kievs. What's your go-to hangover thing if you drink or don't?
Oh, I do drink. My go-to hangover thing. These days... I probably don't eat that much differently because I realise then I'll just feel even worse the next day.
Yeah.
Like, it used to be just anything fried. All the fried things.
People tend to go sugar or salt, don't they?
Same. Yeah. And I still will. But I'll still try and have, you know, one bit of fruit.
Yeah.
Like something. A glass of juice.
Totally. It is funny, that one, isn't it? I don't drink as much as I used to, and that's literally just in the last year because I felt myself get old and I've got so much to do in the daytime. But it means that now if I do get tanked, I am a write-off for the next day. Anyway, I still feel like that I don't understand why it takes me so long in the day to want water. Because that is what my body wants. Real bad. And then there are hangovers where you drink so much water, and my friend, I would have never have noticed this, again, not being connected to my body enough, she was like, have you noticed with the really bad hangovers, sometimes it's not till the afternoon that you have a wee? And I think it's because everything you drink, your body's going, thank you, it never even gets to become wee. That's bonkers, isn't it?
Bodies are incredible.
Bodies are so great. Thanks, bodies. 5-second rule, yes or no?
Yes.
Great. That's a nice and quick answer.
Yeah. Absolutely. Especially if, like, it's something you paid a lot of money for.
Yeah.
Really looking forward to.
Get it in.
I'm not going to waste that.
Yeah, good job. If there's no other option, would you eat a person? I wish you could see her face.
You know what?
It's such a good face.
You know what, Jessica? I did not agree to talk about cannibalism before 6 p.m. on a Friday. This is not.
This is not
what I signed up for.
I'm so sorry.
I respectfully decline to answer the question.
Okay, that's fine. I'll reassure you with the knowledge that I have had guests, even quite recently, answer the question and then have their people have got in touch and say, you cannot have that question and answer in your podcast. You cheeky bitch. I always ask people, is there anything, but I feel like you answered it earlier with Malteser Gate. Is there anything that you eat in a particularly ritualistic way, or anything you believe demands to be eaten in a particularly ritualistic way? Have you got any left?
Yeah, Maltesers, I still do like to have a few where I devour them bit by bit.
I think thinking about that, because I still am. Would it not be easier to let it sit in your mouth and wait for the chocolate to dissolve, as opposed to trying to tooth it off.
So you can do that, but then the malt gets wet immediately.
Yeah, so if you want a crunchy
malt, you have to get the chocolate off without getting
Thank you very
damp.
Much. It was really delicious.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, you yeah, can yeah. unstuffed. I do want a crunchy malt.
Yeah.
Have you got any particular hopes or fears or opinions when it comes to where eating would go with in future? Maybe in terms of technology or in terms of how people eat and people's relationship with eating, however you see that question.
Oh, I mean, yes. The obvious ones in terms of, you know, diet culture can get fucked.
Yeah.
On the other hand, I would also obviously like to see the entire industry become sustainable.
Yeah.
And not, you know, destroying the planet in various ways.
Yeah.
Frankly, if they... I mean, they can make fucking good fake meat.
Yeah.
And so if they manage to make an alternative for everything,
I
wouldn't hate it if actual meat just stopped happening.
Yeah. Totally.
Great.
Totally. Yeah, it's a good shout. And I guess because this is going out on New Year's Eve, I wonder if either of us or both of us have got anything to say to anyone who's like teetering for the first time ever about not having weight loss. Maybe trying to not have weight loss as either their only or one of their New Year's resolutions. Because it took me 30 something years for it not to be there every single year.
Yeah.
I think, I'll give you a minute to think. I mean, what would you say to those people? I think I would say there is a world out there of people growing who don't value thinness like you currently value thinness.
Mm.
And that doesn't mean not caring about health anymore. It doesn't mean not caring about how you feel. In fact, I think for me it means the opposite. And I don't just mean not caring about physical health anymore. I really mean that too. Like, I think, I don't know. You can't ever change your behaviour, but also if you're teetering, I reckon make this the year. Just pick something else that brings you joy to have as your resolution.
Yeah.
Even if it's, I don't know, I was going to say something about more hugs, but equally that feels a little bit not very Christmas 2021, not very January 2022. Something about, meet more dogs.
Perfect.
Meet more dogs.
Love
you could have instead.
Yeah.
You could have never eat less than four Maltesers at a time.
Yeah. Have more orgasms.
Have more orgasms is a lovely one.
Yeah, one a day keeps the doctor
I miss
away.
The days when that's all that self-care meant to me. It was code for wanking. Obviously, there are other ways to get orgasms, but Yeah, do that. That's a lovely one.
I feel like self-care kind of, again, has become code for wanking.
Well, that's what I mean when I say it.
Perfect. I would say, I mean, I think first and foremost, I would say you're not the problem.
Yeah.
But I think for so many people, if they're listening to us talk about, you know, fuck diet culture and it's... You can maybe take that a bit personally and think, they're saying I'm the bad guy, like they're saying I'm doing something wrong or I'm part of the problem. You are not the problem. You know, we've all been raised in this world, in this culture that teaches us these things, and you're playing by the rules, and we both have as well.
Yeah.
But you deserve better. Like, you deserve more than a life that is spent looking in the mirror.
Can you have a drink?
I'm all right. Please.
Thank you. Great interrupting time. Looking in the mirror and feeling like a piece of shit and counting your calories and never feeling good enough. And you just deserve something different.
Yeah. And just try it, because it's so freeing.
Mm.
It frees up so much of your head and heart space. Thank you. For I think infinitely more interesting stuff.
Oh, yeah. The energy that you have spare.
Yeah, totally. You'll get more books read.
I'm in my tongue.
Wrists and anything that rhymes with wrists, including lists, all vanish because a shithead does a spell wrong. None of us can find our hands. We're all so disorganised that quickly It becomes an apocalypse and no one's unpanicked enough to help because they can't even get the gists anymore. Oh God, it's a fucking hellscape, Megan, but it's agreed to undo itself and the shithead spell only if you, and really it does have to be you, roll escape to Mars on a wave made of oat milk and fairy spit, all whilst doing a mouth impression of an elephant. It sounds impossible, but you do it. You're a hero. Your reward, in reality, is the adulation of all people for all time from saving us from anything that rhymes with ists, less apocalypse. Your reward in the moment, though, and bear in mind, that roller skate to Mars took fucking ages and your mouth is busy, elephant squeaking. You're absolutely fucking famished. You're so hungry. So your reward in the moment is the feast of your dreams. Ooh. So this is the opposite of a last meal in the sense that you couldn't be happier and you couldn't be hungrier. And it's a fantasy feast. It's a fantasy question scenario, so it's a fantasy feast. So, I mean, it goes without saying, I think, with us, but I couldn't give a flying motherfucking fuck about consequences, health. I don't even care if these things are possible. It doesn't have to be loads, it doesn't have to be small, it doesn't have to be, this isn't a huge long thing. I'd like to know, in your dream situation, if you imagine yourself being the happiest and hungriest possible, what you'd eat, what you'd drink, and if there's a who, with, and where, you can give a who, with, and where. And the final caveat is to reassure you that me and everyone who's listening realise this is only your answer now, and why to have asked you this even in 20 minutes, you could have given a completely different answer, and that's fine.
All right. Brilliant. Okay. In that case, I would like to take the magical garden from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Beautiful.
I would like to split it down the middle.
Yeah.
So just take the river, the chocolate river, split it down the middle. One half of the garden becomes savoury. So there we will have giant burgers, fries, bowls of pasta, sushi. And that half of the river has become various dips. I love dips.
A rockery of sushi.
Every flavour of dip in the river. Yep.
Yeah.
That can be savoury. And the other half, that can stay sweet. And I would simply like to be in that garden with all of my loved ones, all of my dogs, living and past.
Yes.
And actually, no, that would be bad for them. They would eat everything and die. Yeah. Just people.
They're not allowed
with control.
The chocolate.
Yeah.
It's a fantasy, yeah.
Okay,
They can be like... It can be like a sort of gentle distraction technique that means that they never ever can get
perfect
near anything toxic to animals.
We're in the garden, we're feasting, Lizzo's performing.
Oh, it's a fantasy. Why didn't we let them have the chocolate, but it's just harmless?
Okay.
Oh my God, Lizzo's performing, thank you.
Lizzo's on a giant mushroom somewhere, just twerking.
Yes.
Yeah, sounds like a great time.
I mean, it sounds like actual fucking heaven, actually. Doesn't it?
Uh-huh.
You've nailed that. Thank you for doing my silly podcast.
Thank you for having me
and
for the burger.
Happy New Year.
You too.
What a stellar New Year's Eve guest. Thank you so much, Megan, for doing this silly podcast. Details of everything interesting that we mentioned are, as always, in the podcast notes, including links to, if you don't already know it, her Instagram. It's massive. Get on there. Oh, what a joyful place it is, her Instagram. Megan Jane Crabb. Jane with a Y. So it's MeganJayneCrabbe. And her book is called Body Positive Power. Yum, yum, bloody yum, please. Feel free to support this podcast with lovely 5-star reviews or recommendations to friends, or by subscribing to it, or just by listening to it, or by giving it money, either on Acast Supporter or over on Patreon. Links, as ever, in the podcast notes. Follow the podcast on social media at The Hoovering Pod. Follow me at Jessica Foster Q. Anything longer than a tweet, or you want to send links, if you want to find links, sorry, to buy tickets to where I'm doing previews and new material all throughout the beginning of this year, world openness allowing, all of that, including a way to send me an email, all of that available on my website, jessicafosterq.com. Huge thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until in a fortnight's time, happy hoovering.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.